Welcome, everyone, to the first Thursday of Lent. Today, we have a special guest with us as we reflect upon St. Alphonsus Liguori's Lenten sermons. Father Cristino, thanks for your time today.
Happy to be with you, as always, Ken.
Well, we are going to look at St. Alphonsus's Lenten sermons, and so we'll get your thoughts. We'll read a quote, we'll get your thoughts, and then we'll sit at your feet and listen to your wisdom. How's that sound?
Well, I don't know how St. Alphonsus would feel about that, but we can give it a try.
Today, we have thoughts on meriting the glory of God. St. Alphonsus writes, "Consider every occasion of self-denial as a gift which God bestows upon you, that you may be able to merit greater glory in another life. And remember that what can be done today may not be possible tomorrow, and the time that is past never returns." So, your initial thoughts, Father Cristino?
Yeah, I think that maybe one of the words that might pop out to people, especially if it would make them uncomfortable, is this concept of meriting our glory or meriting our entrance into heaven, as though somehow it's something that we earn. But we really need to make a distinction between earning something and meriting something. And to earn something is more transactional. It's sort of like, I have done X, therefore you owe me Y. And we cannot be in a relationship like that with God. That's why we speak not about earning, but meriting. Meriting means that because of the rules of the game, if you will, or because of the way that God has designed this life and designed our participation in it, when we behave in a particular way, we have not earned something, but we have merited it. That means we have demonstrated that we are worthy of receiving it, not by anything to do with us, but because of God's goodness. Because He has set that up for us in that way. When we merit something, it's because He has made it possible for us through our participation in it. And so when Saint Alphonsus reminds us that every detail of our life, and especially during the season of Lent, when we really, I think, try to focus more on the things that we do or the things that we don't do, that when we do those things and go through life in that much more intentional way, why it can help us to merit greater glory for God and then greater glory for ourselves in heaven is because He has provided that framework within which, however we behave in accordance with His will and out of love for Him, then makes us worthy of that eternal reward all the more. And so His goodness is what makes anything that we merit possible.
So isn't it correct to say that every action matters? That every action in our day has the possibility of changing how we experience our union with God in heaven?
Yes, I do believe that you can speak in those terms because everything is an opportunity for love. We might think to ourselves that much of what we do in the day is neutral. It's not possible for us to sin or not sin in every single moment of our life. It's neither a sin nor an act of charity for me to take a sip of water from my cup. But when I take that sip of water, I can do it mindlessly, or I could say, thank you, Lord, for this gift. Now we've turned this into an occasion for love. Now, we should not obsess about this, because then we will be thinking just about ourselves and not about God. But the more we think about Him in a natural way, the easier it becomes for Him to just always be on our mind and for us to be more comfortable with turning every minute of our day, every action that we perform, into an opportunity to think of Him or to love Him.
I think this is really important to remember because I think sometimes we can get caught up at looking at our lives thinking, my day doesn't matter. I have these mundane, seemingly unimportant tasks that I have to do. Oh, I have to change this diaper for me. Oh, I have to clean up this spill on the floor, or even right down to paying my taxes. Mm-hmm. You know, And then we can look across the field to somebody else's life and think, oh, their life is much more exciting. They're doing many more wonderful things for God. Who am I? And why does my life even have any much significance compared to somebody else? Maybe like Father Christina, who's a priest and preaching, you know. But I think the truth is that everything matters. Every moment that we have can really impact our salvation. But one step further, maybe when offered for an intention, can become a prayer for somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what inspired Saint Thérèse of Lisieux to say, everything is grace. And this is what prompted her little way. It sounds so simple, because it is, but in its simplicity, it unlocks the greatest mystery of Christian discipleship. And it is that every facet, every moment of our life can be turned into an occasion to love. And I think that was what St. John Paul saw as being so profound in her very simple and short writing, such that he would even make her a doctor of the church, that we can love in the simplest of terms. She uses an example in her diary of even picking up a pin off of the floor. She says, I do not just pick up that pin off the floor. I pick up the pin off the floor for love of you, my God. And when we can think in those terms, it's a sign that we're training ourselves in the school of being forever in the presence of God and keeping the presence of God to the forefront of our mind, so that everything can become an occasion of love. We don't have to look at other people's lives or think that something's missing from mine. Every opportunity that is put in our life is from Him and is an opportunity to give back to Him.
St. Alphonsus continues in today's reflections, and he uses an unusual phrase or an idea about the foolishness of God. Well, he doesn't quite say it that way, but he talks about St. Paul and how the Jews saw the gospel as a stumbling block, and the Gentiles seemed it foolish. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, indeed a stumbling block, and unto the Gentiles foolishness. How is it possible, they say, to believe that an omnipotent God, who wants nothing in order to be perfectly happy as He is, would choose to become man and die on a cross to save men? It seems a folly that God should die for the salvation of men. So when I read that, I thought, is God foolish?
Well, certainly by our standards. And then it's foolish for us to ever apply our standards to God. I think this is what we grapple with all our life, is when God's ways don't make sense according to how we would do things if we were God, which is precisely the greatest mercy that we have in life, is that we're not God, and that we can't be God and won't ever be God, but we can be one with Him. And we can become one with Him when we look upon the mysterious acts of His life and the movement of His grace as something we know we can't understand. We know does not make sense according to our logic, but He is the author of logic. And this is why St. John refers in his gospel many times to Jesus as the Logos. The second person of the Trinity is the Word, the Logos, this rational principle that flows out of the essence of God's being. His logic, His logos, is not ours. Ours is turned inward and corrupt by sin and trapped in this fallen world. That is why when we approach the ways of God, we do so with a limited capacity to understand them. And so we have to stand back. You know, Job says famously that passage when Job kind of puts God on trial, and then God says to him, where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? Where were you when I formed every lightning bolt? Where were you when I filled the clouds with every hailstone? And then afterwards, Job says, I place my hands over my mouth. You know, in other words, I can't speak. I don't even have an answer. How could I have ever thought to even question your ways? And you know, in the prophet Isaiah, he says, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. As far as the heavens are above the earth, are my ways above your ways. And so it may look foolish to us that God would love us so much that he would come to save us through sacrificing himself in his incarnate body, but it made perfect sense to him. And out of love, he chose it for us.
I think of sometimes how love causes people to do foolish things here in human relationships. I think about the foolish things I've done for Janelle. It seems, objectively, just looking on the outside, it seems rather foolish to spend $1,000 or $2,000 on a simple ring. It's kind of useless. What does that ring do? It's an engagement ring. Could have been cheaper. All it does is shine. And sometimes with our limited capacity, I guess looking upon the cross, not as God sees, I mean, we have limited, it seems foolish, but when we do look upon the cross, and then I look at my reaction to Janelle, I find a consolation knowing that, okay, I know that God is not foolish. My understanding is it seems crazy that he would offer his life for me, but I understand that I've done crazy things because I have loved someone else. And so this is a glimpse into his love for me. I guess that's my consolation in this.
Yeah, it's very true. That's the old saying, love makes a man do crazy things. And I think we can relate to that. I've sometimes jokingly adjusted that to say, for a priest, obedience makes a priest do crazy things. In the sense that we show, by our obedience, we show God that we love him, and that we trust him. And so it will sometimes cause us to make decisions or accept circumstances in our life that don't make any sense. But they don't have to make sense by our logic if we're confident that they are coming from that logic of love, which is God himself.
Well, thanks for your thoughts today, Father Cristino. For those of you who are watching on YouTube, please share with us what stood out to you and why in the comments. And tomorrow we will continue. Janelle will be back. Thanks for your time, Father Cristino.
Thanks, Ken. Take care.